The operation was successful and the patient is recovering, said President Trump last night, the day after launching his sweeping global tariffs, tearing up global trade rules, causing the stock markets to plunge. But this president and this White House, it seems, are not for turning.
Those tariffs have come in and many, every country's called us. That's the beauty of what we do. We put ourselves in the driver's seat. If we would have asked some of these countries, almost most of these countries, to do us a favor, they would have said no. Now they'll do anything for us. But we have tariffs, they've been set, and it's going to make our country very rich.
Are you open to deals with these countries if they're calling you?
Well, it depends. If somebody said that we're going to give you something that's so phenomenal, as long as they're giving us something that's good.
As long as they give you something that's good. Taoiseach Micheál Martin, good morning. So President Trump says the US is in the driving seat. They've said don't retaliate or this will get worse. The Commerce Secretary Lutnick, who's already called Ireland a tax scam, he says the US is the sumo wrestler of world trade and you can't fight back against your customer. Have you called the White House? Have you offered a deal?
First of all, I haven't called the White House after this particular announcement. Those options are out there. But we have been in touch. Natasha has been in touch with Secretary of State Lutnick. Maris Sefcovic, the Trade Commissioner for the European Union, has been in touch. And that's the feedback we're getting. I mean, this seems to be how this was to play out. Basically, announcement of the high tariffs to be followed by negotiation. It remains to be seen in terms of the substance of that negotiation, the willingness behind that negotiation to actually strike a deal.
How sceptical are you? Because there is no evidence. I mean, even the signal chat, the remarks we've been getting from the people in the administration, they don't want to talk.
Well, the feedback actually from people in the administration, the feedback from most of the main sort of CEOs of both tech companies and pharmaceutical companies is that there would be negotiations. So that remains to be seen how the rhetoric will actually meet the reality. What is not sustainable is the current situation. Economically, it'll hurt American consumers. It'll hurt American businesses. It will hurt the world economy because
the patient is recovering, says Donald Trump. There will be pain.
This is the Ford strategy. The new, if you like, phrase is short term pain for long term gain. That's the US position, but the pain won't be short term because this is a significant inflationary hit by any yardstick, and in my view is not tenable or sustainable. And so therefore negotiation, and the European Union wants to engage in negotiation. Mm-hmm. I mean, the President of the Commission has said it to me last week, but the European Union is designing countermeasures. If negotiations don't succeed or are not concluded in a satisfactory manner, well, then the other option is countermeasures and a response. And that would be very damaging for all concerned. Well, I think the Commission is, I think, having its own internal discussions on that. But certainly there are a number of weeks before I would, in terms of one would like to allow a number of weeks for negotiation. There will be a response from the EU Commission. It won't be the, I mean, I think
they're already working on
the package
for the steel tariffs.
Yeah, and there will be different phases in terms of the European Union response, depending on whether or not there is movement on the US side. So we are in a very, very uncharted situation. Yeah. It's uncertain, and that's bad for the world economy. My biggest concern right now is sentiment is going to go down. Investment decisions are being paused. Ireland's a small, open economy. We want growth in the world economy. That will impact us quite significantly as well, not just the tariffs.
So over the next couple of weeks, while the EU is deciding its response, speaking softly and working out what the big bazooka might be that they might need to deploy if the talks don't go anywhere. You have countries like France saying, look at tech, look at services. We know that if, for instance, action was taken on bourbon aimed at a red state, there would be a 200%, the wiping out of our alcohol industry. So where do you want to see the retaliation fall? What should make up that bazooka from your point of view?
When we say strategic, Ireland, and we made the point there should be a strategic response. So take the bourbon or take spirits. I think Europe enjoys a 3-to-1 surplus in spirits. So we shouldn't sort of go into an area where the hit back would be more damaging to Europe. So as best as possible, you have to calibrate your response to advantage yourself and protect that which makes sense to protect. That said, I mean, the problem here is, of course, President Trump has looked at this through the prism of goods only, not services. And I can understand why some countries are immediately saying, well, America enjoys a surplus on services with many countries, including with Ireland. And we US exports a lot more services to Europe. Well, all technology services are massive coming into Europe. And so that's why people are looking at the tech sector. That said, the tech sector employs thousands and thousands of people across Europe, including in Ireland.
And also, so we've got to make sure we don't hurt ourselves. Is that where the risk to... I mean, because we're all hearing about pharma, whatever comes down the track in terms of tariffs, there could be a threat to the, you know, profits being banked here and so on. That could hit your corporation tax. But it's unlikely in the short term that they're actually going to move plant machinery and all that takes time. But on the other hand, tech, that can be moved at the stroke of a pen, can't it?
Not quite with a stroke of a pen. But much different kettle of fish to pharma. And look, people are saying to us, and I've been in touch with quite a number of multinational companies on the pharma side, that this may be a reprieve, but there's a lot of work going on between pharma and the US administration in terms of the supply chain, in terms of costs of medicines to US citizens. It's not simple.
We may have a card there?
Sorry?
We may have a card there, to quote President Trump.
I wouldn't call it a card. I think it's not as simple. But they are coming back to it, as President Trump is saying, we're going to go back to pharma. But on technology, you take semiconductors, for example. We have Intel here and we have others here. We have a strong semiconductor industry. Again, one would, from a geopolitical point of view, I understand why they want to reshore semiconductors from Asia. Europe can play a part in that with the US. The big issue in the US will be, will the hundreds and thousands of jobs be there, or people be there to fill all of the vacancies? There's a huge shortage in the US in terms of human capital and people to actually do the job. So the idea of reshoring, as you have said, pharmaceutical immediately doesn't seem practical or feasible. And similarly with semiconductors. There are huge investments being announced by companies. I think what I would say, definitely new investments are going to slow very significantly.
Already, we heard from in the business section, down 50% in the first quarter. Seamus Coffey saying that could get even worse.
Yeah, I think there's going to be no one put the head above the parapet. You saw the announcement when the tariff announcements came of all the individual companies, Apple, J&J, Lilly, all announcing big investments in the US. Now, companies like Lilly have announced a huge investment in Limerick, and that's going ahead. Many of the multinationals we are meeting are still very happy with Ireland, are still saying we're in Ireland for the long haul. And basically, the big question for us, will we weather this over the next number of years? That's our priority. And can things come back to a more stable situation into the future?
Will the stock markets, if Donald Trump and the bond markets, if he won't listen to world leaders who are universally condemning these moves on tariffs, will the stock markets soften his cough and force them to compromise?
I think the markets will, and particularly in American currency, in terms of pensions and so on, and people will see
it. Bond markets in particular.
We'll see real issues for them. So I think that if that sustains, that will be problematic for the US administration. But already there's talk of deals and negotiations with individual countries. So the big issue will be that there is a worrying antipathy towards the EU as an institution in the White House. And that is,
he won't even talk to Ursula von der Leyen.
That is a big concern for us. Maris Sefcovic has had a series of meetings with Secretary of State Lutnick. But I think that is problematic, to be honest, in terms of our capacity to get a deal at EU level with the US. But all of the feedback to now has been, don't over-retaliate. There will be a negotiation process here. We'll see.
On the other hand, appeasement doesn't work with a bully, does it?
Well, again, I think you have to, as I say, measured, phased response. We have weapons, Europe has, but let's be under no illusion. Once you deploy them, you are in a fully fledged trade war, and people lose out in a fully fledged trade war. That is a very unsatisfactory and uncertain position we are in. We believe this decision by President Trump is fundamentally wrong. Bad for people, bad for businesses, and bad for society.
And you're meeting unions and employers and trade business today. Now, through the COVID crisis, through the Brexit crisis, the government had the money for lots of stay-at-home schemes, business supports, tax parking, all of that. One of the calls from IBEC and the Labour Party is for a short-term work scheme for the sectors that might be affected in this trade war, pharma, food and drink. Will you look at that?
We're going to look. We'll meet with the unions and the employers later today. Myself, to Taoiseach, Minister Donoghue Chambers, and others. I think Minister Burke will be there. I think that this is different to COVID. That's the first point I would make. This could be for the long haul. As President von der Leyen said to me, the old order is gone here.
So does that mean issue, no?
No, it doesn't. I think we have to be, anything we do has to be targeted and has to be future oriented. And the mechanisms we use, yeah, I think, may be very well different. But if this is a long term order, in other words, there will be a level of tariffs, so there will have to be adjustment. I think we have to focus on what we can do better. We have to, like a lot of our resources.
But Danny McCoy was saying, the other day that, and you were talking about, let's see if we can get through this and go on and develop further in those sectors. The really important thing is to keep those workers in touch with those companies, and that's the advantage of a short-term work scheme.
We may need a different approach this time. We need to keep our resources as well to invest in water, in energy, in housing, in public transport, so as we improve the productive capacity of the economy, and so that we create jobs in other areas. We need to develop the offshore wind energy area, for example, and renewables. There will have to be new types of sectors developed economically-wise. We have to improve, resource Enterprise Ireland, resource SMEs, develop more venture capital, the Savings Investment Union in Europe, which has never happened, the Capital Markets Union, which would allow greater funding within Europe for venture capital for small to medium-sized companies to grow, and so forth. So we have to look at this in two ways. Yes, support, but again, we have to see how this plays out. This isn't over. This is a very early stage of a process here. But equally, we have to really pivot very strongly now to reshaping the economy in the light of what is happening.
So where does that mean? What does that mean for a programme for government plans like, leading us to €200 a month childcare, ending the means test for carers, the promises of thousands more hospital beds, the free GP care up to 12 years. I mean, are they all off the table now? Is there a question mark over them?
No, well, our priorities will not change in terms of housing, in terms of disability. We want to change fundamentally how the entire public service and state views disability, for example. But obviously, we're going to keep a very watching brief on revenue flows. Yesterday's figures were good. But it's in the early part of, it's the first quarter of this year.
Because your corporate taxes are still going up at the moment.
They're still going up. And that's why I'm saying we're not going to make any rushed decisions. But we do have to be sensible in terms of what may transpire next year and the year after that in terms of revenues resulting from this. So it is early days. It is uncertain. So it would be wrong to make hasty decisions. But we will do everything we can as a fundamental principle to protect the public finances.
We
will follow through on some of those commitments. We did save shops. We have a five-year government here. We did say all along, if there was fundamental shifts or changes, we would adapt. That was always said. But I think it's early yet to be sort of taking things off the table and so on. We're not at that stage quite yet. But we do have to keep a very focus on this and an eye on this as we go forward.
And now we've got two tariff regimes on the island of Ireland, and the differences between them could get worse if this goes into a tit-for-tat tariff war. So 10% Northern Ireland tariff, 20% Republic of Ireland. What happens to the Newry cheesemaker using Monaghan milk?
Again, there would have to be clarity around that, and we're going to have to work our way through that because the dairy industry, for example, on the island of Ireland is one industry. It doesn't respect the border. We had all of this debate during the Brexit saga. And indeed, Windsor does allow some frameworks, but mainly for Northern Ireland businesses and so forth. So these are issues we're going to pursue, both with Europe and indeed with the US administration in terms of that differential now on the island of Ireland.
And of course, Europe gave us huge backing on that issue during the Brexit thing. Is there a danger that maybe this time, because Europe is looking at its own, you know, that would get forgotten?
It won't be as big a focus, to be frank, across the European Union, because, of course, you look, take the car industry in Europe. That's been hit with a massive tariff. That really impacts Germany, which is having challenges right now. It impacts Slovakia and a number of other member states. So every part of the European Union is impacted by this tariff imposition. We are impacted in agri-food in particular and potentially in other sectors down the line.
You mentioned housing there, Taoiseach, and that's a continuing priority. And we know from the central bank figures that you won't be meeting your targets this year. You didn't make them last year. It'll take up to 2027. Still a huge gap between delivery and demand. Another dismal record in the homeless figures last week, 15,000, nearly 5,000 of them children. So you're 3 months in. You've been saying it's a top priority. Where's the plan for delivery? Where is it?
Well, first of all, it is a top priority, and already we've announced about 800 million in addition to what was already allocated in terms of housing itself, in terms of affordable and social housing, 450.
That was on projects that had been stalled, actually, once the election was called, wasn't it? There are tenant in situ scheme. Nothing is happening fast enough.
The tenant in situ scheme, it had to be relooked at, and it had to be targeted at those who needed the most. There was elements coming into how that scheme was being operated vis-a-vis local authorities, which was not satisfactory.
When a decision
and
on the rent
and we
pressure
do have
zones.
To evaluate that will be very shortly. That review is coming into us. The National Planning Framework will be published shortly as well, which will allow us to instruct local authorities to rezone more land for more housing. And we are working in respect of the need to get more private sector investment in, particularly on the apartment and the brownfield sites.
Yeah, but except the governor of the central bank was saying, the issue isn't necessarily, you know, the need for looser financing. The issue is maybe go ahead and look at your own many policies. Are they all working together? And he in particular pointed to planning.
Should we know about planning? I didn't need a central bank.
Yeah, but what are you doing about it?
I didn't need a central bank governor to tell me that, because we've already passed the Planning Act, which took us about 4 years to get through the last Dáil, and the opposition said we rushed it. And we do need to...
When will it be enforced? Because it'll be a couple of months, according to Minister Brown.
We did need to unblock the planning issue. That's accepted. And it will take a while to now implement it, such as the enormity of the plan. But the commission will be set up, the new board planola, if you like, the commission planola will be established within the next 2 to 3 months. And there will be statutory timelines. Without question, planning and delivery is the biggest issue facing us as a country, across the public service and across agencies and so forth. And that's why we are saying, in terms of water and in terms of the grid, these are more fundamental enablers of housing that we're very focused on in terms of the capital plan. So when you asked earlier in terms of priorities and so on, protecting our capital funding basis is critical so that we can spend that on infrastructure to enable housing. And that will give us a sustained growth in housing over the future.
When are we going to see the National Planning Framework? Because that's the key document on which all the rest of the planning structures have.
Correct.
When's it going to Cabinet?
Within the next fortnight to 3 weeks.
And also a lot of talk about the need for a housing SAR to break the log jams and delays. You've spoken about this. Again, when?
Imminent. We've already made decisions on that. We're setting up the strategic housing office within the Department of Housing, and a person has been identified, and obviously the minister will announce that very, very shortly. And that would be, again, the objective being on big sites and in big areas to unblock any sort of barriers or blockages that are getting in the way of developments coming through.
So we'll have seen all of those maybe by the end of April.
That's the objective, yes. And more. Like, we'll be coming back with more.
All right. And a final question to you, Taoiseach. And obviously, everyone's seen the ructions in the Dáil over the past couple of months, and you had a lot to say about it, delayed your election as Taoiseach. And you've been very critical of the opposition, and they've said you've made a grubby deal with Michael Lowry. But I want to ask, but now you've got your majority, you got it through, you've sorted out the others speaking, confidence in the Ceann Comhairle. But in terms of the Ceann Comhairle, that's supposed to be a secret vote by all members of the Dáil. That's, if you like, where the Ceann Comhairle gets their authority. That's what we decided was the best system. But you went and recommended to your party members to vote for Verona Murphy over Sean O'Farrell or John McGuinness, because that would be a confidence building measure towards forming this government. So isn't that your sin in this, that you made what should have been an independent post a partisan pawn in the formation of government?
Well, on previous occasions, and even on this occasion, Sinn Féin recommended their nominee and voted for their nominee for Ciarán Corla.
You told your party not to vote for your nominee.
Sinn Féin, and there's precedent for that too in previous times when independents were elected quite a number of times as Ciarán Corla. Why? Because we have a fragmented Dáil. My objective was to form a government that would last 5 years. And right throughout my career, and particularly as a leader of the Fianna Fáil party, I facilitated the formation of governments that have lasted the full term. Confidence supplying being the obvious classic one, where unusual arrangement, but Fianna Fáil facilitated a coalition between Fine Gael and Independence at the time. Brexit came along, and thanks be to God we did. It was good for the country that we did that. 2020, we formed a government with Fine Gael, Green Party, and by the way, with Independence as well, who supported that last government. Wasn't half the hullabaloo about it.
2025.
You know? Sorry?
2025. What you recommended to your party for 2025.
But I'm saying there's precedent for that. Okay. In terms of the numbers, we need a majority. My only objective here is to enable a government to be formed that will have a sufficient majority to go the full distance. I mean, the fundamental obligation of any Dáil is to elect a government. I mean, I was facing a situation where the Labour Party didn't want to go into government. The Social Democrats didn't want to go into government. Independent Ireland wanted to change strategy around climate change. They did engage with us. That's the Independent Ireland Party.
And Verona Murphy was part of the
only
price.
The only group that came forward to engage was the Regional Independent Group. And I'm still, okay. You know, unless people feel that we can go on without forming governments with majorities, we'll have elections every 2 years. That's not good for the country. That's my only motivation in this. But let's be honest, the opposition and the main opposition parties said prior to the Dáil being formed, that they wanted total opposition. And we saw that play out on day one. For the first time in 106 years, Dáil Éireann couldn't fulfil its constitutional duty. And that was a decision taken by the opposition to make sure that wouldn't happen.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin, thank you for joining us on Morning Ireland.